you remember the story of Steven Slater, that flight attendant from JetBlue a few years ago? This is the fellow who got into an altercation with a customer, or someone on the flight that he was flight attending. And because of that altercation, this man knew that his job was going to be over by the time the plane landed. So what he did, as the plane landed, he got on the intercom, said, "Take this job," cracked open two beers, and then deployed the slide, the emergency slide, and slid out onto the tarmac. He went out in a blaze of glory. That was his exit strategy. We all have some sort of strategy when we're between a rock and a hard place. Some, like Steven Slater, throw all caution to the wind. Some end up being paralyzed by fear. Some disregard their ethics and behave out of self-centeredness and greed, taking on that age-old axiom that the end justifies the means. And some creatively contribute to the building up of the reign of God. When describing the lead up to the financial meltdown of a few years ago, MIT economist Paul Krugman wrote a book called The Return of Depression Economics. It was an apt description of the state of secular affairs. And I've been fascinated with that term, the return of depression economics, but I think that today's text, our gospel that we read, tells us about the return of eschatological economics. After passages about lost sheep and lost coins and a son who had lost his way, and even more importantly, stories about how precious all lost souls are to God, the Gospel of Luke's storyline now turns to eschatological economics. That is, the ultimate destiny of the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services. What God intends, and how we are part of bringing that to fulfillment. It's eerie to read this parable in the shadow of the financial crisis of a few years ago, of Lehman Brothers, and even the things that we're hearing this month about Wells Fargo. On first hearing Luke 16, it sounds like a golden parachute story, a story of lining one's pockets on the way out. The execs at Lehman, like the steward in our gospel, knew that an accounting was coming, and that they would be unemployed, and that they were, to quote the gospel, not strong enough to dig and ashamed to beg. And so, like the steward, they act shrewdly, making use of dishonest wealth for future security. A closer reading, however, shows us that the steward is not at all like the execs. Notice that he doesn't set aside money that he's siphoned off from his master's businesses. In fact, he takes no money for himself at all. Instead, he writes off the debts of others, that when he is dismissed as manager, people may welcome him into their homes. This is not just about losing jobs and exit strategies. It's about how we build our economies, our relationship to production, distribution, and consumption. It's about how we behave when we are in tight places. When we're in hard times, the temptation is to turn inward, to take care of ourselves first, to be a Steven Slater grabbing a beer and shouting, "Take this job." But the manager in this story, facing his own demise, liberates others in the hope of reciprocity. He does this in the hope of creating a new paradigm in which people take care of each other. Even more than expecting that his manager's debtors will take him in, the manager is unleashing the power and the hope of hospitality and community. He's creating a precedence for people catching one another as they fall. As I read this parable this year, that is the divine nugget here, that the manager, instead of shaking down his debtors for every cent that he could, he gives back, behaves generously, seeks relationship, invests in others. Furthermore, it's not a mistake that Jesus uses a sinner, a flawed human being, to make his point here. We're all flawed. We're all lost. And this parable is a direct response to the Pharisees grumbling about Jesus eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. What Jesus did in the previous stories is he demonstrated how God works and that God seeks the lost and the broken, the misguided. And now he is showing us that God works through the lost and the broken too. He works through us, despite, or maybe even sometimes, because of our flaws. Don Friesen is a scripture scholar, and he says that there are really two kinds of parables. The one that we're most commonly faced with is a parable that says, go and do likewise. The other kind is a how much more. So the parable we have this morning is not a go and do likewise. This is a how much more parable, meaning that if the dishonest manager can ensure his future through shrewdness, how much more should we be able to do? How much more astute and shrewd in advancing the cause of God should we be? If in the secular world, cleverness and ingenuity and aggressiveness and risk-taking are the tools of success, how much more creative and aggressive and willing to take risks to ensure the future of God's creation should those committed to the realm of God be? He was fired because he squandered, wasted his master's resources in a reckless or foolish manner. But then he was commended because he built up goodwill and exhibited extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity isn't only seeing how many zeros you can add to the end of a charity check. It's also creating a way of living that utilizes your resources to create a world that's rooted in God's priorities. A world that God wants us all to live in. The reign of God. This month, as we prayerfully reflect on stewardship pledging in our 2017 budget, extravagant generosity is about aligning our priorities and our resources in godly ways. Eschatological economics is about making sure that our exit strategies build hope for all, not just for ourselves. Here's the thing, friends. There are at least 100 children in this city at any given time who are homeless. 1 in 5 female students on university campuses will be the victim of sexual assault in her time on campus. Tuberculosis deaths are on the rise across the world. Eschatological economics, extravagant generosity, is committing as much of our time, energy, and resources to eradicating those horrors as we commit to our own exit strategies. Friends, it's quite possible that we might find ourselves between a rock and a hard place someday, a place that we can't quite see our way out of. Today's gospel admonishes us that when we are looking for a way out, when we're trying to establish our exit strategy, being kind to others, practicing extravagant generosity, making the world a little more like the kingdom, is the godly faithful thing to do. If Stephen, the JetBlue flight attendant, had been committed to extravagant generosity, if he'd been focused on eschatological economics, eradicating tuberculosis or creating a world in which going to college isn't a sexually dangerous undertaking for a woman, his exit would have been much, much different. And that is one of the reasons that I believe that the missions of a church are its most critical ministries. The bottom line, money is a good servant, but it's a poor master. For the Lehman Brothers execs, and for so many of us, when we get into that tight spot, we often treat money as our master, letting it rule how we live, act, see the world. The challenge that our gospel passage gives us is to understand our personal resources, our wealth, our personal economies as a servant, as a means to building the kingdom. To put it another way, as St. Paul tells us, where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. May we be found to treasure God's ways of finding the lost, caring for the poor, rather than the worldly way of feathering our own nets. May God's exit strategies be ours. Amen.